Hey guys, welcome back to seminar series. Glad you're back. You know, the last couple weeks we've talked about the 8 steps to catching more fish. We talked about the 5 P's to planning. Now it's time to kind of go one step further and take kind of all the information we've kind of gathered and actually go on the water and actually talk about how we're going to kind of take all this information that we've given you and kind of start putting it together when we're out on the water. So pattern fishing is kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. And it's something that, again, like we said the last couple weeks, you know, we covered the 8 steps catching more fish. We covered the 5 P's to successful fishing. And we just keep talking about guys just don't do enough thinking when they're on the water. And pattern fishing kind of brings all that home. So hopefully tonight it's kind of more in a fishing environment, or kind of more of a fishing vein than the other 2 seminars were. So all the information we learned in those other first two seminars, we're going to kind of put together tonight in pattern fishing and kind of get you dialed in to really pay attention to what's going on the water. So what is a pattern? You know, if you're like me, I've been reading about fishing since I was 8 years old. You know, pattern kept coming up. Patterns, 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 patterns. And what is a fishing pattern? Well, a pattern is simply a series of steps that you need to catch fish. Each step has multiple options or answers. And pattern fishing is a process of trying different options, evaluating the results, and making changes based on the results. That's basically what pattern fishing is. It's trying a bunch of stuff and saying, this worked, I'm going to keep it. This didn't work, I'm going to throw it out. And then going to the next step down our 8-step list, right? This worked, this didn't, I'm going to keep this. So getting a pattern is having the best answer for all 8 of those steps. That's what a pattern is. The better your pattern is, the more variables and options you eliminate, the more fish you're going to catch faster. So the faster you can kind of recognize what's happening, what the pattern is for that day, the more fish you're going to catch. Every day there will be many right answers to each of the steps, right? So we'll go back to our 8 steps. Location, depth of water, depth of fish, how deep your lure needs to go, lure speed, lure size, lure shape, lure action, lure color. Remember, I told you week 1 we did the 8 steps. You're going to see this a lot. Well, here it is again. There are multiple right answers every day to those 8 questions, but there's usually only one best answer every day. The faster an angler can get the best answer for each step, the faster they're going to catch fish. Now, the problem is most anglers will get a right answer and they won't keep working to get to the best answer. We're going to talk about that at the end of the seminar tonight. I call it never settle. And we're going to talk about some things you can go through to get to the best answer. But understand there'll be many right answers to each of the steps, but only one best answer usually every day. And the faster you can figure out right answers and get to the best answer, the faster you're going to catch fish. Okay? All right, so let's talk a little bit about daily pattern fishing. Steps 1 through 3 is the where, right? Location, depth of water, depth of fish, depth of lure. Obviously, you've got to work first on figuring out the location of catchable fish. I can't stress this enough, guys. You cannot catch fish unless you're fishing where they are. I know that sounds so basic, but a lot of people don't spend enough time worrying about location. And I would tell you, over the 20 years I've been doing this and the 12 years I've been charter fishing, I would tell you without question that most anglers spend about 90 to 95% of time on the water fishing where they have zero chance of ever getting bit. They just don't pay enough to location or the where part. Pay attention to that. So work first on getting the location of the catchable fish. The better you have the kill zone dial in, I call the area where the fish are, I call it the kill zone. The better you have the kill zone dial in, the better your success will be. And how do I kind of narrow that kill zone down? Very simple, I use my GPS. So if you look at my GPS, this is a small piece of Saginaw Bay, you'll notice that I've got a bunch of different waypoints. You notice I've got some clusters. You notice I've got some odd waypoints kind of off by themselves. You'll see a bunch of different sizes, shapes, colors, and symbols. We'll cover that in the advanced GPS DVD, where we talk about actually using your GPS to tell you a story. So each one of these to me, each one of these symbols and colors tells me maybe a water temperature range that I caught fish, a time of year, a certain time of year, whatever the case may be, a certain season, a certain year. So it tells me a lot of information. But the big thing it does is it starts to kind of narrow down what I call the kill zone. So you can see this little piece right here. This was a fall trip a couple years ago. You can see that these fish are in a very, very distinct area, very, very distinct line. You come down here, you got the same thing. You got a cluster of summer fish from a couple years ago, all in one little spot. They don't get out here, they don't get out here, they don't get out here. they're in this area. So using your GPS every time you catch a fish to mark a fish, and then you'll start to see where you're fishing, where you're not catching them, and you start to narrow down that kill zone. I try to get all four corners, the north, south, east, and west corner of my kill zone, create a box on my GPS that I know there's catchable fish. And then I go back to that box and just keep working, working, working. So using your GPS, save a waypoint every time you catch a fish, especially when you're out during the day, that's gonna help you figure out where you need to be fishing. And remember, you can't catch fish if you're not fishing where they are. So that helps really narrow down where you need to be fishing. Another example, this is Detroit River. So you can see I've got very, very distinct areas where there are fish, right? And very, very distinct areas where there are no fish. I guarantee I fished out here and there's just nothing happening, especially at this time of year. So you can see these very, very distinct patterns of not just, you know, small areas of a bigger area, but also areas inside a small area where there's nothing happening. I guarantee there's a blue X here and a blue X here. I guarantee I drifted through this. Well, for whatever reason, there's nothing there that day. So using your GPS to really get that kill zone figured out, it's going to change the way you fish. Stay on fish, stay on fish, stay on fish. When you get off fish, go back to where the fish were, okay? You've got to stay on those fish. Use your GPS to find the kill zone. That's step one in pattern fishing, okay? Because that takes care of the location and the depth of water and the first steps of the where, okay? And when you do this, what's going to happen is you're going to start to see as you move into a spot or you start to catch fish, you should be able to see fish on your sonar. You want to put your baits 2 to 6, 8 feet above those fish, right? And as you start to do that and catch fish, we're starting to narrow these three pieces of the puzzle down. We'll talk about that again in detail a little bit later. All right, so that's the where part, the location, depth of water, depth of fish and lure. We're going to use our GPS to keep us on fish, keep us in the kill zone. All right, so steps 4 to 8, what? Start the process at the top of the list and work each step after you have the ones above it figured out, right? Avoid fishing backwards. So there's our 5 through 8. So lure speed, lure size, lure shape, 4 through 8. Lure speed, size, shape, action, and color. You don't want to start trying to figure out the best color when you haven't figured out the best speed yet. So we want to make sure we're working down that list. We figured out where the fish are, figured out deep water, figured out where to put our lures. Now we're starting to work down that list, starting with speed first. Again, we're going to go into detail tonight about this depth piece, depth of our lure, and this speed of our lure. We're going to go into detail about that tonight, so really, really get ready to pay attention. But lay yourself a good foundation with this so you know what we're talking about. Okay, start the process at the top. Work on each step after you have the ones above it figured out. Avoid fishing backwards, okay? This is something that, man, oh man, I think too many fishermen do not pay attention to, and that is this. Let me start this with a question. How many of you, if you go 10 or 15 minutes without catching a fish, start changing baits, right? Okay, a lot of you. That's the wrong time to start changing. The right time to start changing and trying different sizes, shapes, actions, colors, depths, and speeds, the time to do that is when you are catching fish. And a lot of funny looks, right? When you are catching fish, that's when you experiment, because now you know you're on fish, you know you've got the speed in your lure area right, that's when you put different sizes and shapes. The fish will tell you what they want. Sometimes they say no, that's okay, you can go back to what was working and keep going that way. But when you are catching fish, that's when you experiment. That's the only way to get to the best result. I'm going to tell you a little story here in a second. Remember, there's several right presentations every day, but only one. Keep looking until you find it. First time that Forrest went out with us fishing, he'd been coming to the seminars for a year or two. We taught, drive around till you find fish. Don't take rods out of the rod locker till you find fish. Work all this. Keep changing baits. We taught all that. He bought in a little bit. I got a chance to take him fishing one fall, and it was a perfect day. So I had a bunch of my fall waypoints on my GPS, went to our first spot, nothing. Second spot, looked around, no fish. Third spot, looked around the sonar, no fish. Fourth spot, looked around, no fish. Fifth spot, finally found some fish. Well, we're almost an hour into the day from the time we left the dock, and we haven't even got rods of the rod locker yet. So we finally find the fish we're going to catch, or that are catchable. So we pull some lures out, and there's three of us in the boat. We're going to run, at that time, it was 2 rods per person in Michigan. So we're going to run 6 rods. Okay? Pretty typical. So I put 6 different baits out in a zone about 2 to 6 feet above the fish. I had 6 different, entirely different baits out. Okay? So we get out ready. First board on Forrest's side, he gets it out. He locks it in. It's out there 100 feet. I'm setting a board on my side. I'm only about halfway out because I was kind of helping him. He picks up his second rod, and that first board goes back. My Forrest, we got a fish, so we stop everything. And we've got a video of it, and you can actually see where my rod's hanging there. There's a 20 feet of line out behind the back of the boat. So he grabs it, reels it in, catch it, and then it's about six, a nice little six and a half pound fish. And he's all excited. And I am too, right? Right away, we caught some fish. Or as soon as we sat down and fished. And I looked at him and said, verbatim, I said, we have to be careful. We don't let this fish fool us. He kind of looked at me. I said, look, we just caught a fish on this bait. It actually happened to be a deep little ripper is what we caught the fish on. Actually happened to be a deep little ripper. I said, we got to be careful. We don't let this fish fool us. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, what would you do right now? He goes, well, I put a couple more deep little rippers out. I says, no, that's only one, right? In my mind, one's a fluke, two's an idea, three's a pattern. I said, we can't let that first fish fool us. So by the time the day was over, about 5 hours of fishing, we ended up with about 17, 18 nice fish. That's the only fish we caught all day on a deep little ripper. So if we would have done what a lot of guys do, boom, right away we catch a fish on a deep little ripper. Let's change a couple more and put it back out there. We wouldn't have caught as many fish as we caught because the deep little ripper was not the best answer. It was a good answer, but it wasn't the best answer. Don't let those first couple fish fool you. Keep experimenting until you figure out that something doesn't work or something really is working. Then you can start to change. Okay? All right, and that's exactly where we are right here. Never settle, right? When you start catching fish, do not immediately change all your rods to what is working. Now's the time to experiment. Different lure types, shapes, sizes, actions, colors. Keep your lure, your location in your kill zone. Keep your depth in the water, what we call the kill box. And keep your speed close to what's working. And just put different baits. So, you know, we got just a few baits thrown up here. But, you know, something like a deep little ripper, a deep husky jerk, maybe a rogue, maybe a P10, maybe an 800 series reef runner, maybe a bandit, right? So we've got all these fall lures out there. They're all different sizes from 3.5 to 8 inches long, and some are long and skinny, and some are short and fat. Put all those out there. Pretty soon you'll catch 3, 4, 5 fish, and they'll all be on short fat baits, right? Or baits that are 3 to 4 inches long. We'll take your 8-inch, 7-inch baits out. That's because now you know. You can't tell me that the only thing they would hit all day, that the best bait today was a deep little ripper, until you go back over those active fish with different lures in the water and you still catch them on a deep little ripper and don't catch them on the other ones. If all you do is fish deep little rippers, you can't tell me that was the best answer today. Might have been a good answer, but you might have caught 15 fish instead of 5 with a deep husky jerk. Okay? So keep experimenting, keep experimenting, keep experimenting, keep experimenting. Hey, we got a whole bunch of lures, man. If you're like me, you got 7 million crankbaits. Put them in the water. Let's see what works. You might be surprised. But never, ever settle. Give the fish options when you start catching them. If something doesn't work, you can always go back to what did catch them and start catching them again. Okay? All right. So let's talk in detail now about step 3 and 4. How deep and how fast. And in my mind, other than location, these are the two most important factors to figure out in your presentation. I would rather have the wrong color lure in the right place going the right speed at the right depth than I would ever want to have the right color and not be in the right place at the right speed and the right depth. So how deep and how fast are two things I try to figure out right away. Luckily, they're both easy to change, right? It's very, very simple to speed up your boat, slow your boat down. That's pretty simple to do. Reel in a bait, put another one out. That's not that hard to do. Remember, don't worry about the next step. And the next step down is lure size. Don't worry about that until you have the steps above it right. So here we are, step 3 and 4. Step 1 is location. We're already on fish. Step 2, we know how deep a water those fish are in. Now step 3, how deep do our lures go? How fast? That's the first piece of the presentation puzzle you got to get before you worry about everything else. Okay? So here's a little something that I do different, and it has served me extremely well over the years, especially in open water. Remember, fish in open water specifically, especially as they start to get off the bottom, are active, right? But different levels of activity. The more active a fish is, the higher he's going to come to get a bait. Use that to your advantage to catch more fish from a school. So let's do this. We've got a school of 25 walleye, 30 walleye. There's 4 in there, 5 in there that are just going to hit anything. They're just nuts. They're crazy. What you don't want to do, if those fish are 20 feet deep, is catch those fish with a lure that's 18 feet. Because now those five fish come out, they hit that, they're pulling, they're in that school. Pretty soon that school kind of goes, I'm not quite sure this is a good idea. What you want to do is get those hot fish out, have them come 6, 8, 10 feet to get a bait, because they're going to come anyway. Get them out of there. Then you can start dropping your lures and start catching fish that aren't quite as aggressive. So what we want to do is we want to make sure those really hot fish come way up, 6, 8, 10, 12 feet to get a bait. Then we can lower our baits. The next aggressive fish will come out. Then pretty soon we can go back to 1 or 2 feet above the school and catch those fish that really didn't want to go get, but we haven't spooked them yet. So we're maximizing how many fish we can catch on school. And here's how I do it. As soon as I catch a fish, the first thing I do is that same bait goes back, but it goes back 2 feet higher. So I go over a school of fish, I got a lure 18 feet deep, it gets bit, it goes back, but only goes 16 feet deep. It gets bit, it goes back, it goes 14 feet deep. Goes back, gets hit again, goes 12 feet, no bites. Guess what I just figured out? I just figured out my box of death is between 14 and 18 feet. Right? Some of you never get high enough to figure out how high a fish will come. Now, here's something I'm going to tell you, and I have oodles of records to prove it. In cold water, fish will come further to get a bait than they will in warm water. Absolutely true. Sometimes you can't catch fish in cold water close to where the fish are. Your bait needs to be 8, 10, 12 feet above them to get a bite. So don't be afraid to be high. You can always come down, right? So every time I catch a fish, I'm moving that bait higher and higher and higher and higher. And once you get this all figured out, you'll know how high you can go, how low you can go. You've now figured out what I call the box of death. So you've got your kill zone on the surface where the fish are located, got your box of death in the water. Now you can start putting everything you have in those two boxes, one vertically along the surface, one horizontally through the water. You get a flood of different styles, baits, different colors, different shapes, different actions. In those two boxes, the fish will tell you exactly what they want. Pay attention to this. When you catch a fish, put your lure back, but put it higher. Fish will tell you how high they're going to come. Okay? I do the same basic thing with my speed. How fast can I go? Again, the more active a fish is, the faster a lure can present it. We're trying to get those really hot fish out of there as fast as we can. And then we can go back and slow down a little bit. So I have a tendency, and those of you that know me, those of you guys who are sitting here, a lot of you know, have known me for 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 years. I fish fast. Slow to me, walleye fishing is 2, right? I catch a lot of fish, even in 50, 48, 49, 50 degree water, spring and fall, I catch a ton of walleye, 2.2, 2.4, 2.6. Summertime, we're fishing 2.8, 3, 3.2, 3.3 sometimes, and catch a ton of fish. I think speed is a trigger. We're going to talk about that in a future seminar. I think speed is a trigger even when fish are not active. That's a whole other story for another day. So I start fast. My basic start speed is 2 in cold water, about 2.4, 2.5 in warm water. That's just where I start. And I do the same thing with my speed that I do with my depth. As soon as I catch a fish, so I catch a fish going 2 miles an hour, 18 feet deep. The boat goes to 2.2, the lure goes to 16. Catch one. Lure comes to 14, boat goes to 2.4. Catch one. Okay, lure comes to 12, speed goes to 2.6, nothing. Well, I've just now figured out my box of death, and I start to work in the speed range. So now I lower that lure back to the top of my box of death, keep my speed up. Maybe I catch one at 2.6, but now I know I can't go any higher. Now I go back, put the lure back where it was, go 2.8, don't catch any fish. So now I figured out my box of death by moving my lure high every time I catch a fish until it doesn't get bit. And I figured out my speed range by going faster every time I catch a fish until I get to a point the fish say no. This is what we're talking about, right answer versus best answer. Most guys never get to the right lure, the right depth, the right speed, because as soon as they catch one or two, they stop. Right? Everybody's so happy to catch one, they go brain dead. That's when you need to start thinking. Your first fish answers a bunch of questions. Aha, now you want to catch a second fish. Aha, now you want to catch a third fish. Now you got all these data points you can start to organize in your mind and go, that's what these fish want. So as we're catching fish, we're constantly changing until the fish say no. Then we go back to what we know worked, our control, and we start working from there again, okay? So speed and depth, how fast can I go? How high can I go? And again, as I put baits back into catching fish, I slowly increase the speed 1 or 2 tenths. At some point, going too fast, fine, I've got that all figured out. So what I'm trying to do in a pattern is figure out where the fish are in the kill zone using my GPS, the box of death, where do my baits need to be, and sometimes that box of death may be 12 feet. I've seen it sometimes where it's 1 foot. If you don't have your baits in a 1 foot box, you're not going to get bit, but you've got to figure that out every day. And then I work on my speed range. Where can I go? What's my low end? What's my high end? Always working at the high end for as long as I can. Fish stop biting. I come back and work down a little bit slower, see if I can get some fish to come out at a little bit slower speed. So I'm constantly adjusting, constantly adjusting, constantly adjusting. Okay? All right, so let's work on number 5 through 8. And 5 through 8 is our lure size, shape, our lure action, and our lure color. So we've got the location figured out, got the depth of water. Those two things are our kill zone, depth of the fish, where our lures need to be, lure speed, that's our box of death, that's our speed range. Now we're down here in the lure size, shape, action, and color. Again, we're trying to, every time we go, get one number on our eight numbers, get one of our steps on our eight steps. Let me back up. Get one of the answers on our eight steps figured out, and then we start working on the answer below it. Always working from the top down. Okay? So once the location, depth, and speed are figured out, now we can start working on the presentation, right? Size, shape, action, and color. Remember to work from the top down. Small changes can make a big difference. I want to stop for just a second, right? I want to go back to here because as we've been talking about all this, I want you to be honest. Take just 10 seconds to think for a minute. Be honest. How many of you, if we know that this is right, from the top down is how we need to do it, how many of you are still fishing backwards? You're worrying about what lure and what color before you worry about this. Okay? That's what we're trying to get you to today, is understand those eight steps, have a reason that they're in that order. Okay? All right. So once the location, depth, and speed is figured out, now we can start working on size, shape, action, and color. And we do it the same way. Kill zone, box of death, speed range. Now we keep changing lures, right? We're always in the right location. We're moving baits up. We're moving baits down. We're changing speeds. Maybe we caught a couple fish on a deep little ripper. We put a husky jerk out there. Maybe we caught a couple fish on a husky jerk. We put a rattle tot out. Something different. Totally different shape. Totally different action. Totally different sound. We're in the same place at the same depth, close to the same speed. We're letting the fish tell us what size, shape, and action lure they want. You'll be surprised how many days the best presentation is nowhere close to what you caught that first fish on. Okay? Remember that story I told you about Forrest. We caught 16 or 17 fish that day. Never caught a second one on a deep little ripper. How many of you would have put more deep little rippers in the water and not had a very good day? Come back and told me the fish weren't biting? Well, we had 16. Okay? Always, always, always working. Don't let the first few fish fool you into a bad pattern. Every time you catch a fish, and this is where I want you to start thinking. Again, most people I see on a boat, they catch a fish and they go brain dead. They just stop thinking. That's when you need to start thinking. And you need to ask yourself two questions. You catch a first fish, you got those eight questions answered. And that's why I'm adamant about writing it down. Use our catch report sheets, use a notebook, I don't care. Write it down. Take 2 seconds and write it down. You catch your second fish, now's when the fun starts. Two questions you need to ask yourself. What did the presentation I caught both those fish on have in common? Are those eight things? So even if you just list those eight things real fast, what do they have in common? Those are things that are important. Those are things that you need to start concentrating on. And then you ask yourself this, what was different about the two fish I caught? If you got things that aren't the same, that are different, that means you haven't got that figured out yet. So as you catch more fish, you start to figure out that, hey, all my fish are coming 15 to 18 feet deep. My lure is 15 to 18 feet deep. And we started to catch all of our fish between 2.4 and 2.6 miles an hour. But I've caught one on a husky jerk and one on a Hottentot and one on a deep little ripper and one on a rogue. You don't have the lure, the size and shape figured out yet. Caught one on purple, one on chartreuse. One, you don't have the color figured out yet. So what you need to do is as you get three or four fish that tell you same on one of the columns, one of the answers, you're pretty good. Four fish, four different lures, four different colors. That means you need to start working harder on that piece of the puzzle. So every fish adds more data points. And you just got to keep asking yourself, what do they have in common? What do they not have in common? What do they have in common? What are they not? The faster you figure this out, I guarantee you guys, the better your fishing is going to be. Okay? Changes, sometimes very, very subtle changes can often be the difference between a good day and a great day. Keep experimenting. One of the things I love about my charter fishing is we're on the Angler Quest pontoon on Saginaw Bay, and we've got most days 12 rods running. I got John with me most of the time as the first mate. Got 12 rods going. We can experiment, experiment, experiment. Michigan's nice. Even with two guys, you got 6 rods, right? I would keep 4 kind of fishing and 2 to play with. I'd keep my 2 inside rods to play with because they're easiest to change. But keep experimenting. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep playing, keep playing, keep playing until you get it right. And sometimes, guys, very, very, very subtle difference can make, or very, very subtle changes can make the difference between catching 10 fish and catching 20 fish, or catching 20 fish and catching 40 fish. Pay attention to these small things. So what are we talking about? What kind of small changes can we make? Well, pretty simple. Maybe you're fishing a spoon, right? So a lightweight versus a heavyweight. Maybe you're fishing a weight in front of a crankbait, okay? Is an inline weight better than a snap weight? Is a snap weight better than a lead core? If you're fishing crawler harnesses or spoons, you know, lead core versus a offshore tadpole versus a dipsy diver, right? Jet divers versus a mini disc. Maybe you're trolling spoons or car harnesses, right? So you got a jet diver, you got a mini disc. Each one of these goes through the water different and gives a different action to the lure behind it, right? Bottom bouncers versus inline or snap weights versus lead core ran close to the bottom. All of these little subtle differences is where you need to experiment. So if you instantly catch a fish, let's say 85 feet back on our 65 feet back on a 1 ounce inline weight, don't grab another 1 ounce inline and run it back 65. Figure out how many feet back you need to get a 2 ounce weight to get it to the same depth, because the angle is completely different. The angle of attack, so they're all at the same depth, but the angle that a lure goes in the water with a 1 ounce is much different than it travels to the water with a 2 ounce weight. That makes a difference to the fish, guys. Sometimes that very aggressive angle catches more fish because it puts a different action on the lure than a shallower angle does. This all makes a big difference. So don't just constantly, oh, we just caught one 65 back on 1 ounce. Here they all go. No. How can you get a 1.5 ounce weight there? How can you get a 2 ounce weight there? What do you need to get the same lure there with lead core? What do you need to get that same there lure there with a diver? Because that diver is going to get that lure a whole different action than an inline weight. Those are all subtle differences that guys just don't pay enough attention to. They catch 1 or 2 fish, everything goes back the same. They have no idea how good the day could have been. Okay? Another one, deep cranks fish shallow versus shallow cranks. Shallow cranks versus fish deep versus deep cranks, right? Everybody, hey, we're on Lake Erie or we're on Saginaw Bay and we got to get down 21 feet. Well, everybody grabs a deep diving lure, okay? If I take this lure, let me show you an example here. Let me grab a couple things out of my little magic tackle box here. So sometimes getting deep, you don't always catch as many fish going deep with a deep lure. Sometimes taking a shallow lure and running it deep catches more fish. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. So here I've got reef runner lures, and I have an 800 series deep diving reef runner. I get down about 34, 35 feet. And here I've got a 700 series ripstick, only gets down to about 11. Same exact same size, same body, same shape, same everything. What's different is short square bill versus long wide bill. Two completely different actions. Same size, same shape, same lure, completely different actions. So if we want to get down 24 feet, we can very easily take this lure. Precision Trolling app tells me 120 feet of line gets this down 24 feet. That's the first thing you would grab. Well, this bait has a wide action because of the big bill. Same size, same shape, much tighter action because of the small bill. Some days getting this bait to 24 feet deep behind a lead core or a snap weight or an inline weight catches more fish than a deep diving bait that's designed to run deep because the action is different. Right? Fish are only 8 feet down. Oh, great. Run this back 60 feet, it goes 8 feet. Okay, but again, you've got that very, very aggressive action. Sometimes this lure ran 20 feet behind an offshore planer board to get 8 feet with that wider action, catches more fish than this does. So just because you want to fish deep doesn't mean deep diving cranks are the best. And just because you want to fish shallow doesn't mean that shallow diving crankbaits are the best. All these little subtle differences, figuring out the kill zone, box of death, and then putting different size, shape, styles, and actions. Remember, same size, same shape, different action. Each one of those in the spread is going to catch a different amount of fish every day. Those are those subtle things that guys just do not pay enough attention to, right? Different weighting device. Again, you know, this disc is going to put a different action on the bait than this jet diver is. A tadpole is going to be different. Deep diving crankbait versus shallow, 1 ounce weight versus a 2 ounce. These are all things that good fishermen do, right? So when you come back and say, man, we killed them on a 1 ounce inline weight, I go, did you run a 2 ounce down there? No. Well, then you can't tell me one ounce was good, but it wasn't the best, right? The other thing is inline weights versus snap weights. Inline weight, because of what it is, it goes inline. It's only 4, 5, 6 feet above our lure. Well, as the board goes up and down on the waves, that weight goes up and down, the lure goes up and down. You take a snap weight, run the same amount of weight 50 feet away from the lure, because I can snap it on anywhere. Now that weight can go up and down, and the bait doesn't move. Some days fish like that weight close, so the bait is moving through the water this way. Some days they want it way out here, so that if the bait moves to the water, the lure doesn't move at all. Okay? These are all things you need to work on every single day, every single day, every single day. That's going to get you to your best, best, best catch every time you're out fishing. Okay? Record what happens. Man, oh man. It frustrates me to know that guys go out fishing, they have success, and they don't write it down. Why would you not want to know what worked today? Because I guarantee you somewhere down the road, you're going to have those same conditions. I guarantee if you know, the spots and the baits you caught fish on are going to work again 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years later. Write it down. This is a little statement I saw actually on the Golf Channel one day, and I loved it. If you can't measure something, you can't understand it. If you can't understand it, you can't control it. And if you can't control it, you can't improve it. And that's exactly how I feel about keeping records when you're fishing. If you don't know what size bait is catching more fish, you can't try something else and make sure that you understand that size bait is better than a bigger or smaller bait. Okay? And if you can't understand that you're catching more fish on a 4-inch bait than you are a 5-inch bait, you can't improve the amount of fish you catch because you're still going to run different size baits because you don't know for sure that 4 is better. If you can't measure it, you can't understand it. If you can't understand it, you can't control it. Can't control it, you can't improve it. Guys, write it down. Carry a notebook in your boat. As soon as you catch fish, write it down real fast. Just shorthand, whatever your shorthand is. And as you catch fish, compare, compare, compare. Okay? I would tell you that this is probably one of my... I've been doing this for 20 years now. And I would tell you that this is probably one of my biggest issues with anglers, especially guys who've come through our class. They don't keep good enough records, okay? Well, I get guys all the time, well, I don't want to take the time. Okay, stop for a minute. If you look at, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. If you look at our catch report sheets, here's what we have. Waypoint, latitude, longitude, water depth, time of the fish, size and weight of the fish, the lure, the color, the feedback, and the speed, okay? You should, as soon as your offshore planer board goes back, boom, fish, you save a waypoint. First thing you do is you turn around, you write that waypoint number down in your box. Now, if you do what we do, and the way we teach you in our advanced GPS class, our advanced GPS DVD, that should be waypoint number one, but that's a whole other class. So you save a waypoint, somebody writes that down, okay? You should, and if you can't, guys, you need to pay better attention. As your other buddy is reeling in that offshore planer board with the fish on it, you should be able to write down the lure that you're using, the color it is, how far back, and how fast you're going. If you can't tell, middle board on the left side, that's 60 feet back with a silver and blue Hottentot, you're not paying enough attention. You have to pay attention. So you should be able to get the waypoint and then write down the lure, the color, and the feet back before the board even gets to the boat. Okay? On snap the board, fish comes in, you net it, you look at it, yep, 26 inches. You write down 26 inches, you go. You don't need to write down the latitude, longitude, depth of water, or the time, because at the end of the day, when you go back and look at your waypoint, or after you get that lure back in the water, you can go to your waypoint screen, bring up your waypoint, it'll tell you latitude, longitude, water depth, and the time that waypoint was saved. So you don't need to write any of that down until you have time. So record the waypoint. You should know the lure, the color, the feedback, and the speed you're going before the board even gets to the boat. Only thing you need to wait for the fish is the size and the weight. If you can't do that, and be honest with yourself, if you can't look at your spread and go, that's that, that's that, that's that, that's that, that's that, and that's that, you are not paying enough attention. If you can't do it on your mind, write it down. Just make yourself a little, take a little notepad. You can buy them for 10 cents when school gets ready to start again. Write it down. Rod number one is this, rod number two is this, rod three, that way you know, okay? So pay attention to recording. So again, with each fish we catch, we want to measure, we want to understand, we want to control. With each fish we catch, we're going to write it down, those eight steps. We're going to ask ourselves what's the same and what's different, and we're going to work through the pattern. You can use these sheets. I would prefer at the end of the day use these sheets because they're very easy. But during the day, if you want to use a notebook, that's fine. I know some guys use the record feature on their phone, right? I know some guys have a little tape recorder they just carry, and they just, boop, well, waypoint 7, blah, 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 and they put it down. Then when they get some time, they write it down on paper, okay? There's our friend Al Van Brockel. A lot of you guys know Al. He's out salmon fishing with a buddy. Actually, I've had a couple charter captains that Al has went charters with make a comment about, man, the guy pays attention, asks questions, and writes everything down. He takes his catch report sheets with him every time he goes fishing. And I'll tell you what, Al has become a really good fisherman because he has information that he can use to help him get on fish a whole lot faster. Okay? All right. So before we wrap this up, let me take a quick little drink here. Make sure that you're writing things down. So two things I want to tell you here. First of all, keep a sheet and keep this information even if you have a bad day. So at the end of the day, if you went tried three places and tried 10 different lures each place, make sure you have a record of that somewhere. So the next time the conditions are the same, don't go back to those places and do those same things. If it didn't work today, I guarantee you they're probably not going to work a year or two from now, right? So be cognizant about writing this stuff down, and recording it. Second thing I want to tell you is this, as we're talking about fishing here, this is the right place to do this. We talk about fishing backwards. When we look at our eight steps, we ask you, are you fishing backwards, right? I hope that you're honest with yourself and say, yeah, I need to start paying more attention. The other thing I want to ask you is, are your actions in the boat backwards? What I mean by that is this. Do you go fast when you should go slow? And do you go slow when you should go fast? Here is the typical situation I see. And on my charters, I let guys, especially our trolling charters, I let our customers kind of do everything. Set the rods, do all that. Because I want them to learn. I want them to be part of it and learn. So what I see a lot of is this. Or if I go fish on someone else's boat, we're getting our lures set. Let our line out, get our planer board on. What a lot of guys do is they'll hang on to, let's say we want to let that offshore planer board out 100 feet. They'll sit and hold on to their spool till it gets to 100, then they'll put it in the rod holder, okay? Going slow. That's when you should go fast, guys. Lure goes out, offshore board gets snapped on, turn the clicker on your reel, open the bail, stick it in the top rod holder, right? It's going out under pressure. As soon as it starts to go, you grab the second rod and start setting the line. Because you can't catch fish with lures in the boat. So setting rods, you need to be fast, not slow, right? Get them out as fast as you can get them out. If that board goes out to 115 feet before you stop it, that's okay. Reel it into 100, you're done. Keep setting rods. The biggest thing I see happen is this. When guys catch fish, planer board goes back, offshore board goes back, guys get all excited, everybody just scrambles. Guy grabs a rod real fast, starts reeling, okay? You're going to lose fish that way, but everybody's scrambling. That's the time when that offshore planer board goes back to just slow down. Got a fish. First thing you do, you turn around, save a waypoint instantly. So you know where you were when you caught that fish, right? Caught the fish. Now what you do before the guy even grabs a rod, all the other rods, do I need to move any rods out of the way to catch this fish? Move those. Is the net ready? Yep, net's ready. I'm all clear? Yep, all clear to go. Now you grab the rod. Reel the fish in. Take your time. Constant pressure. Board comes off. Take your time. Net the fish. Fish comes in. Boom. Now is when I see everybody go slow. Yay, high five. Yeah, we caught one. Yeah, put this over here. Hey, take my picture. Guys, you just caught a fish on that lure in this spot. You can take a picture any time. fishes in the net, get them down, get that lure out, give the lure to somebody. That lure needs to be going out before that fish is even out of the net. Get it back, get it back, get it back. Then you put the fish in the live well, get everything fishing. Okay, now take my picture. I see too many guys with a hot lure sitting the fish on the deck. The fish rolls around, gets all tangled up. It takes them 10 minutes to get untangled. They take 5 pictures, and by the time they get that hot lure back in the water, they're off the fish. So know when to go fast and when to go slow. Always fast when you're getting lures in the water. Always slow when you're bringing fish to the boat and when you need to organize. Okay? So again, not just fishing backwards in what you're doing, but fishing backwards in your actions. You'll catch a lot more fish by being efficient. Okay? All right, so there's pattern fishing. Hopefully that helped you kind of take some of the information we gave you in the first 2 seminars, our 8 steps to catching more fish, and the 5 P's for more successful fishing. Thank you for your support. Look forward to seeing you on the water, and I hope you catch a lot more fish this year by paying attention to the details and keying in on that pattern.